Okay, thank you. Praise the Lord. So you've heard, my name's Pastor George Mwaura, all the way, and my wife, Pastor Lydia. We are from Kenya. We are visiting. We have been here now for the last almost 2 months. And just like what Pastor said, we ministered with him. We have grown together in ministry. We have gone places. We have cried together. And we have done many, many things together. We have a lot of history that we can sit down and talk and see the faithfulness of the Lord. Him and the wife and the entire family, they are very close friends of ours. And every time we are in the States, we must communicate with them. Sometimes it has been very difficult to come this way, but we are glad that this time we have been able to come and be with them, and of course be able to be with you also. I really don't want to talk much now. I know it's Bible study time, but I would like to encourage all of you who come for Bible study. And as I have had a lot of testimonies, Bible study is very, very important, because that's the time you study and know what God really is saying, and what the Word of God says. In our church, okay, we pastor a church called the House of Worship, Kitty Happy Church. We normally also have Bible study, but we have it on Sundays. But during Bible study is one of the most enjoyable time that I always don't like to miss, because that's the time you are able to, you know, to dig the scriptures. And when I came and found the way the seats were arranged, I was so happy, because I knew this is not a time when somebody stands there and preaches. You know, sometimes you cannot be able to ask a question when somebody is here. But when we are this way, can say, please, I want to understand, I want to ask a question, which is very good. So I want to encourage you, continue learning the Word of God. I know in America there are very many challenges, but God does not change. Even if things change, the environment is different, but God does not change. And He requires us to understand more of His Word. At this juncture, I want to welcome my wife, who will be leading us through the remaining part of this service. Welcome.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. as you've heard, I'm Lydia, and I'm born again. I love Jesus. He's my Savior and Lord. And I'm grateful to be here, even in this Bible study. Long time I used to be so offended when people don't turn up to church events. And I would wonder what's wrong with them. But with time I came to understand, unless God calls you to Himself, it is hard to even be found where He wants you to be found. Sometimes you would preach like in an open-air meeting, and when the word starts to be preached, people would walk away because they've been entertained. You know, they listened to the music, they enjoyed themselves, and they would walk away. And I would feel like I would get them by force to listen to the word of God. But I realized not everyone finds the word of God sweet to their taste. It's only those who find it sweet that would want to listen and listen and listen again. But in the process, you realize that those who love to listen to the word of God become wiser in everything, not just in the things of God. But the word of God opens our eyes to see things in different perspectives that the normal person does not see. And I'm glad that all of us are here and we are ready to hear the word of God. The Bible tells me in Colossians 3:16 that the word of God should fill my heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And my desire is that we would desire that the word of God fills our hearts. when we fill ourselves with the Word of God, then we will not be swayed by every wind of doctrine, and especially so in the age we are living in, when there are a lot of seducing spirits and confusion and deceptions. If we do not have a foundation of the Word of God, then it is very difficult to survive our age. But when the Word of God so dwells in you richly, then you can easily distinguish what is not from God. And it's important for us to study, it's important for us to understand the mind of God, even concerning our daily walk. And you just talked about being in the house of the Lord, and you just reminded me of my favorite verse in Psalms 92. I love to talk about this verse and just think about it, because it really, you know, encourages my heart. I'll just read it. I'll share on a different thing, but just look at that verse. Psalms 92, from verse 12 to 15. Psalms 92, from verse 12. The Bible says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Those who dwell in the house of the Lord. There are some of us who love to just walk in late and leave early, you know. It's like it's not pleasant to our hearts to stay in the house of God. But the Bible says there is a benefit in staying longer in the house of God. So those of us who love to stay, then I want to encourage you that there's a benefit. And those who are planted, you know, when you plant something, it's not moving. Mm-hmm. It's like when you are not in the house of God, you feel like you're missing something. I want to be there. I want to be early. If people are coming at 9, I'll be there at 8. I want to take a bit longer time in the house of God. I just want to kneel down and pray. I just want to have fellowship with God. I just want to be there, still in the presence of God. And he says, if we are planted in the house of the Lord, we will flourish in the courts of our God. And the next verse says that we will bring forth fruit even in our old age. We will be fat and flourishing. I love that. I look forward for the time I'll be 100 years and I'll be fat and flourishing because I've loved the house of our God. Amen. And the Bible says I'll still bring forth fruit even in my old age.
Amen.
I'll not be that old woman who is full of curses in her mouth. No. You know, I'll still be a blessing. I'll bring forth fruit that everyone who comes around me wants to hear me speak, because there's something that is just flowing out of my heart because of taking time in the presence of God. And it's my encouragement to you. So don't find like you are wasting time coming here every... No. There's no waste in the presence of God. Even if you are just coming to sit and just keep quiet in the presence of God, it makes the whole difference.
Amen.
Keep coming, and you will see the outcome of being in the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 I would like us to... get to what is upon my heart to share today. And I would like us just to look at a number of scriptures as we continue. I want us to look at the topic on worship. I love to worship God. And I love to just think of worship and to talk about worship and to worship. And I would like us to just share on a number of things that the Lord has laid on my heart. I would like us to begin by a scripture in Acts 15, verse 16 and 17. Just get to Acts, verse 16 and 17. We'll just read the two verses and then we will continue. The Bible says, "After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of man might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. I want us to just zoom in to the issue that the Lord will return and build again the tabernacle of David. Now, there's a difference between the tabernacle of David and the tabernacles that existed before that time. We have the original tabernacle of Moses and we have the temple of Solomon. The tabernacle of Moses had a setup. And this setup, we can find it in Psalms 100 verse 4. It had an outer court and it had the holy place and it had the holy of holies. And there was a separation between the holy place and the holy of holies. There was a thick curtain that separated the people from the presence of God. And we realize that when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain was torn in two. That means we then were given access into the presence of Almighty God. But even beforehand, the time that the Philistines had taken the Ark of the Covenant, and David tried to bring it back, and something happened because they had carried it on an oxen cart. And they took it to the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And God blessed that man. And David said, no, we are going for that ark, and we are going to bring it to the city of David. When they went back, you know, David built a tent for the Ark of the Covenant. And within that tent, there was no separation between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. The Bible says that what sustained the whole thing was a continued worship 24/7. Levites would, you know, work in shifts. And round the clock, there was worship in that tent all the time. And now, when we look at like the temple of Solomon, it was so magnificent. It had a lot of beauty and a lot of costly stuff. But God does not say, I will restore again the temple of Solomon. Because God does not attach meaning so much to the costs of what we attach value to. But what God valued in the tent of David was the worship that continued in that tent continually. And he says, I will return again and restore and rebuild the tent or the tabernacle of David. What is God talking about here? It is the restoration of that true worship that used to go on in the tent of David that God is restoring. And he says he will rebuild the tent that was broken down. And we can bear witness that there has been a season where worship like ceased in the house of God. And we continued religiously going through our rituals, and there wasn't true worship in the house of God. And we would come in and maybe entertain one another, make one another happy and go home and feel very good. We've been together, we have sung, you know, we have done this. But if you go into the depths of what we were doing in the house, it's like there wasn't any true worship. But God is saying he is coming again to rebuild the tabernacle of David. He is going to restore true worship that will be unending. And God is restoring it to us. It is we who are going to offer that worship to our God, you know, ceaselessly. We are going to worship God. God is going to restore that to us. And if you look at the scripture in John 4, verse 23, the Bible says, that he is looking for worshippers. He's seeking for worshippers. And when I go through my Bible, I only find two places that God is seeking for a people. There's a place he's talking of, he was seeking for an intercessor to stand in the gap. And here he's saying he's seeking for worshippers. Now, you may wonder, why should God seek for worshippers? He has all the angels in heaven, he has the 24 elders, he has the four living beings. But worship is God's food. And that is why he's so desperately looking for worshippers. He's seeking, which means they are not commonplace. From that verse in John 4, 23, the Bible says God is seeking for those true worshippers who will worship him in truth and in spirit. Now, worship in itself, it may not, you know, it is neither godly or ungodly. It depends on the object of worship. Because we know we have a lot of people who do worship, yet their worship is not focused on God. But God is going to restore that tabernacle of David because there, the worship was focused on the true God. And God says he inhabits the praises of his people. So he's going to come down and just sit on our praises as we lift up our voices to praise him, as we worship him with our lifestyles, as we worship him with the words of our mouth, as we worship him with our character, as we worship him with our relationships, he will be enthroned among his people.
Amen. Praise God.
And I just thank God because he's not talking about the number that will bring him down. I don't know how many worshippers he finds every time he's seeking. Sometimes we can even sit and feel a place like this. But sometimes it just runs through my heart. It's like, how many among us are worshipping God in truth and in spirit? Because it is true you can be lifting up your hands even in a church worship, yet your mind, you know, you are back in the house organizing something. Maybe you have visitors, you're thinking of what you'll cook for them. Or you're already in tomorrow trying to plan, put things in place. That is not true worship.
No.
Because when God is seeking, he zooms in to you. And it's like, uh-oh, her mind is gone. She's not here. So he goes to another person trying to find out, who is here doing what I've asked that should be done? And many times we find that we are distracted by many things. Sometimes you're even distracted by your neighbor who is praying so loudly. And it's like, why can't he reduce his volume a bit so I can concentrate? In the process, you just lose the track. And you are not there. So if God gets to you at that point, then he will not find you. You'll not be found among the worshippers that God is seeking. And so, may the Lord help each of our hearts that we will be among the people that will be found worshipping around the throne 24/7. That even if I'm doing my work, my heart is focused. You know, I have that yearning for God. You know, I look at a scripture like Psalms 42, 1 and 2, and David says, as a deer panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul panteth for God. My soul pants for God, for the living God. You know, he didn't want to make it ambiguous which God. You know, in our age, people talk of God, yet they are not referring to the living God. And so he made it very specific. My soul yearns for the living God. And he asks, when shall I come and appear before the Lord? When shall I come? Because it's like, okay, I'm here doing my routine stuff, but there's a yearning in my heart that cannot be quenched by anything else. It can only be quenched by the presence of the living God. And I desire to be in his presence. I desire For the time I can lift up my hands and just worship him. For the time I can relate with him person to person. That time I can zoom into him and just enjoy that communion with God. And this man, it's like he had discovered something that many of us have, you know, never discovered. Because despite even being a king, what he longed for most was the presence of God. He did not long for too many other things. And if you go through the whole of the book of Psalms, he refers to the presence of God many, many times. And he says, this is what I long for. This is what I thirst for. This is what I'm hungering for. I just want to be with God. I want to sit at his feet and just look into his face. I just want to, you know, to find him. And sometimes he cries about many things that are happening. But finally he says, and the Lord heard me and he answered me. You know, it's like, oh, I found you, God, finally. Despite my struggles, despite what I've been through, I can still find God. And, you know, all these things teach us that the presence of God is very important to us as believers. And if we can only discover, you know, to have those times of just zooming in and finding God, despite our busy schedules, despite our running up and down, despite the many things that surround us, the many voices that speak, our souls, our inner man still cries out and yearns and hungers for God. And you know, when we find him, our lives will never be the same again. And so my desire is that we would find God.
Amen.
That we would, you know, just, our lives should just go around God, you know. He remains like the center of our very beings. That regardless of so many things that surround us, so many friends and so much to be done and so many demanding things and children here and work there and everything else that demands our attention, that God remains the center of our lives. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible talks about us being a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may show forth his praises, the praises of him that has translated us from darkness to his marvelous light. And when we just look at that verse, it's like God has done so much to us, so that we can show forth his praise. Let me just read that verse if you do not mind. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10 says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
It's at the beginning of verse 9. The Bible talks about us being a chosen generation. You know, God has done everything to place us in a position where we can show forth his praises. First of all, he has chosen us. I'm sure if you are raised in a large family like ours, you understand what choosing is, because all of us are not the same. I was born in a family of 14, and I'm number 13. Thank God my mother did not family plan, because she would not have brought me forth. And in the process of time, you know, time defines us.
Amen.
It's like whatever choices we make, whatever we focus on to doing, at the end of it makes us so different. Though we are born from the same mother, we grew up under the same circumstances as children. But with time, it's like everyone just goes their own way and becomes whatever they want to become. But one thing that comes out very clearly is that people, even in a family large as ours, those who put God in the center of their lives are not like those who did not.
Sure.
There's such a vast difference. And sometimes you wish everyone in the family would realize what is making you so different, you know? You try even to talk to them sometime and they refuse to see what is obvious. Because God, when He chooses you, He sets you apart for Himself. You are not commonplace.
Yeah.
You are not like everybody else. You are special. He says, we are a chosen generation. God has chosen us. And then after choosing us, He makes us a royal priesthood. We are royalty. We are a family of a king. And that's why our lives are so different from the other person who does not know Christ. We are a family of priests. You know, priests have a work to do before God. Priests are to offer sacrifices to God. Priests don't live like pagans. Priests have a special calling from God. Their way of doing things is different from the other person in the pew. The priest understands the mind of God. The priest seeks after God so that he can relay the mind of God to the people. The priest is right there before the Almighty God. So, Jesus, after He did all He did, one, He chose us. He says we did not choose Him. Indeed, we did not. Because some of us, where we were raised, we wouldn't have chosen Christ. But in the abundance of His mercy, He chose us. And He has made us royalty. He has lifted us up. If some of us would give you our history, our background, then you would understand better. You know? Maybe some of us understand this verse better than others. Because our backgrounds, we were too far away. And even being where we are, it must have taken the hand of God to bring us this far.
Amen.
So, He has made us priests. He has made us royalty. And He says, He has made us a holy nation. Holiness. We don't behave the way other people behave. Not because we have a stronger will than they. No, not because our egos are stronger and they have driven us to God. No, it is because He chose us. And He is the one working in us. The Bible says He works in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. So it is still His working. It is not so much of our effort. Ours is to avail ourselves to Him, to come in the house and just sit. The way I said, just come and sit and say, God, I'm here. I don't know even what I should be doing here, but I just want to sit in Your presence. Do something in my heart. Change me. Just change my mind. Help me. Help me out, you know. Make me a better person. And God is there working every day on our lives. And He's making us holy. God expects us to be holy because He is holy. He says we are peculiar people. Some versions say God's own people. You know, being people of God is not a simple thing. It is not... You know what God has chosen for Himself is not commonplace. it is special because God attaches a lot of meaning to it. And I tell people, when we become true worshipers, it is dangerous to try and fit in normal life. It is dangerous to try and live like everybody else lives. Because God has invested in us so much that he can even kill you. That is scary. But when we come to understand God, as much as he's a loving father, he's also a consuming fire. And as much as he's a consuming fire, he's a jealous God. You know? If he has invested so much in us, and we try to revert to what we were beforehand, God is not going to be pleased with us. That is the reason he says, be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. Be like me, because that's what I want you to become. Walk uprightly. Let your conversation be such as befits a saint. We cannot afford to live the way worldly people live. We cannot fit in every company. We cannot sit down to share in every conversation. No, because God has chosen us. He has made us his own people. A peculiar people. A special people to God. His own special possession. And he does not expect us to go back and wallow in the mud where he has picked us from. So he expects us to live lives that portray who he is. If we are royalty, we cannot afford to live like normal people. You know? Let me give you an example of Obama's kids. You will not meet them anywhere and everywhere. Even if they are on the streets, there must be guards somewhere. Because somebody is watching out for their moves. Somebody is watching out what they eat, what they touch, who is relating with them, what are they about to do. You know, somebody is on the lookout for their lives. And that is what we are before God. We are special people to God. And he is watching over our lives day after day. And he wants us to glorify him in the way we do everything. And that is why he says, he has done all this so that we can show forth his praises. There are some versions that say, so that we can display his praises. You know, I deal in the cloth industry. And when you are putting something on display, it is your best. You don't display the worst and the old among your stock. No. You display what is the latest and the best. So I want to imagine that as God says, he has done all this so that we can display. It's like he puts us there and tells the world, now look, this is what I'm able to do. I can transform someone, I can change them, I can dress them up, and this is the outcome of my work. You know? And God is like, he's bragging with you. He's saying, look, this is my doing. How do you like my work? How do you like my effort? What I've put in this masterpiece? And that is the reason I've said, we cannot afford to be commonplace. Because God has invested so much in our individual lives. And that's why he says, he has done all this, he has chosen us, he has made us royalty, he has made us priests. He is working in us to make us holy day by day so that we can display his praises. Amen. That whoever looks at us says, oh my, and this one has been worked on. Just like that person comes to look at this dress and says, wow, look at this design. It is beautiful. Whoever did this must really have taken time to work on this piece. And that is what God has done to us over and over again so that we can be put on that display. And the whole world looks at us and says, wow, look at this masterpiece. God has really worked on this man of God. God has really worked on this woman. And this is what God is able to bring out of the rubbles. As I said, some of us, where we came from is so far away. But God has been able to work on us consistently, day by day, hour after hour, every minute, as we read and study the Word of God, as we come in the presence of God, as we lift up our hands in worship. I say every time we worship, God just peels on our, you know, our backs. The many things we had wrapped ourselves around with that hindered us from knowing who God is, understanding the mind of God, He keeps peeling them off. By and by, we come to understand the mind of God. By and by, we are being transformed into the image and likeness of Christ. And finally, He just puts us on that display and says, look at this. Look at what I'm able to do. Look at what I have accomplished in the life of this woman. And everybody looks at you. Some of the people just admire from afar. They don't say a word. Some of them come close and ask you, how did you get to where you are? It is not our own doing. It is the working of God in our lives. But He has now worked a work that can be seen. A work that when He puts us on that display and everybody looks at us, they can see this one is definitely different from the rest of the people.
Amen.
When we open our mouths to speak, they say, this one, her speech is different from the rest of the people. When we relate with people, say, no, the character of this woman is different from the women I know. You know, it is the doing of God in our lives.
Amen.
And we are just displaying the praises of our God.
Amen.
And when God, you know, comes around looking for a worshiper, you are just lifting your hands in praise. Or you're just relating with somebody. You're helping somebody out. And that fragrance of the presence of God is just spreading forth to your neighbors and to your workmates and to the people you relate with. And, you know, God is pleased. You know, God wants to forward you and brag with you and say, this is my work. This is my workmanship. I have invested in this man and I can see the outcome. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
That when He is looking for worshippers, that He may find us.
Amen.
That He will not be ashamed when He's coming to show somebody our lives. Let Him not meet something that is not what He has prepared. Let Him not come across something that does not portray who He is. But as He comes around, let Him find what He made, being perfect, being holy, being good, you know, something He can be proud about, something He can, you know, boast with, because He has worked. Let not His work be in vain. And that's why Paul could always say, let us not take the grace of God for granted. Because that grace is what teaches us to say no to ungodliness. It teaches us to say no to wicked ways of doing things. It teaches us to live holy lives, lives that are pleasing before God. And may the Lord just help our hearts to love, to be on God's display. And let's focus there and say, God, when you're looking for a worshiper, you will find me.
Amen.
That verse talks about worshiping in truth and in spirit. When we worship in truth, it is hard, and in fact impossible, to worship God in truth if we don't have the truth of God's word in our hearts. Because the word of God is truth. And that truth is Jesus Himself. So that is why He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What we quoted in the beginning, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And this word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is Jesus Christ Himself. So when we are filling ourselves with the word of God, we are filling ourselves with Christ. And the Bible talks about putting off the old man and putting on Christ. You know? So when we study the Word of God, the Bible talks about renewing our minds. Our minds can only be renewed by the Word of God. And when our minds are renewed, we start looking at things from God's perspective of seeing things. And that is our worship unto God. So as we even worship God, let's say even in a church service, and we are leading God's people in worship, if our hearts are void of the Word of God, it's impossible to lead these people to the presence of God. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's no truth. The truth of the Word of God is not in what we are saying. We can only try to look for words to entertain and make people happy. Sometimes we sing songs that are meaningless because people seem to enjoy the rhythm of that song. Or you see people excited whenever I sing this song. But sometimes we don't even stop to think, what does that song say? Is the content of that song scriptural? Or am I just saying things because people are getting excited about what I'm saying? But when our hearts are full of the Word of God, the Bible says it is from the abundance of our hearts that our mouths speak. So if my heart is full of the Word of God, when I start singing a song, the Word of God just flows out. I will sing the Word of God. And you see, when you sing the Word of God, when you speak the Word of God, you place a demand on God and He has to do something. And when we do that, the Bible says we have to worship in truth and in spirit. We are not doing that with our own understanding. As much as we have the Logos Word of God, the written Word of God, there is a Rhema Word for that service. And now it is up to us to connect with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. He knows the mind of God for that service. So when we connect our spirit to the Spirit of God, then He releases to us the mind of God for the service ongoing. And we are able to move in the direction of God for that particular time. And in the process, we connect with the will of God and something happens in our lives. So I want to believe that even as we store the Word of God in our hearts, in our minds, in our systems, that if I was, you know, those people who dream and speak in their dreams, if I was to dream and speak, I would be speaking the Word of God in my dreams, you know? I'm not yelling, you know, the snakes and lions are chasing after me. No, it is what fills my system that just spills out even in my dreams. You know? It's like in my dreams I'm just saying, God, you are so good. God, you are good. And somebody asks me, oh, are you praying or are you dreaming? You know? It's because even in my dreams, my whole system is consumed by the Word of God. So any time I open my mouth, whether awake or in my sleep, it is the Word that just flows out. And when we fill our hearts with the Word of God, it's easy to connect with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is always just brooding over our situations, waiting for a word. And it has to be the Word of God. When we release the Word of God, the Spirit gets hold of that word. And, you know, things start changing for the good, for us who love the Lord. Amen. And so, may the Lord help us, even as we worship, that we will connect with the Holy Spirit. You know, worship is intimacy with God. And when two people are in a relationship, a close, an intimate relationship, you want to be close all the time. You want to talk to one another all the time. You want to be in fellowship, in communion. You want to relate closely. Most of the time, you want to be together. And that is what God is expecting of all of us that are called by His name. And He has filled us with His Holy Spirit. And He's just calling us into that walk, that closer walk, that intimate relationship. And as I close, I want to say this. The worship in the Spirit is like the service in a restaurant. And I want to put God like the client who comes in to eat. And we are the waiters. And the Holy Spirit is the owner of that restaurant. And as we walk in the restaurant, we are coming to work. And maybe we have been through a lot of stuff out there. We are maybe hurt. We are mourning over something. We have been offended by people. But we have to work anyway. So we walk into this restaurant, and the Holy Spirit has already prepared the menu. Everything is well prepared, and it's there waiting for the customers to come in and be served. And God walks into the restaurant. And if I, as the waiter, if I have no idea what the client wants, you know, let's say if a customer walks into a restaurant, and me as a waiter, I go pick anything I feel like picking and take to that customer to eat, will they eat?
No.
They say, you have not taken my order. That's not what I wanted. I wanted maybe something else that I've not brought. And see, many times in our worship services, that's what we do. We come in, God is waiting for true worship. And we walk in and we think we know what God wants. So we begin right there. And we are taking whatever we want to God. And God says, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I wanted to eat when I walked into this restaurant. But if we walked in and consulted with the Holy Spirit, who the Bible says knows the mind
of God,
of the client. He already knows. He's, you know, every time he walks in, there's something particular he eats. So the owner of the restaurant already knows this man, when he comes, he eats this menu. So he has already prepared that menu. And it's ready for his client because there's a particular time he walks in. Mm-hmm. And if I go to the owner of the restaurant, he'll tell me, okay, if it is that client, this is what he eats. So he gives me what the client likes. So I take that meal and I go to serve him. He will be grateful. I say, oh, so you know what I like. You know? Why? Because I have consulted with whoever knows what he likes. So if I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit, and I'm coming to worship the Lord, the Holy Spirit will give me what the Father likes. So I'm in a position to deliver to God the sacrifice, the kind of sacrifice that he loves to receive, what he likes to eat. I'm able to deliver that to him. And when I give it to him, it's like, this is what I came for. This is what I wanted to eat today. This is my menu for the day. I love it. He enjoys every bit of the food I'm giving him. The sacrifice. The Bible talks about offering the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15. We are offering to God the fruit of our lips, praises unto his name. Because it is the Holy Spirit who has served it, it is well pleasing to God. Because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. So that is the reason we have to worship the Lord in spirit. In spirit means we are doing it from the depths of our hearts in submission to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is leading us to the presence of God to present that which the Father likes. And as we give it, the Father receives it and enjoys it and in return blesses our lives. And we are never the same again. So may the Lord help us, and may the Lord teach us by his Holy Spirit to offer sacrifices to our God that are acceptable to him. The fruit of our lips, directed and led by the Holy Spirit, to even appear in the presence of God, to, you know, on that note that He loves, and our lives will always be blessed by God every time we appear before Him. And I want to imagine that is what David was talking about. When shall I come and appear before the Lord? Because if he is in tune with the Holy Spirit, so that every time he's bringing what is pleasing to the Father, no wonder his life was so blessed, from a shepherd boy to a king who had everything. Sometimes I look at what David contributed to towards the building of the temple, and I just marvel. And I wonder, how much did this guy have to have given all this, you know? But keep in mind, he was a shepherd boy, owning nothing. And God just picked him from that field because his heart was hooked up with God. And he would bring to God that which is pleasing to God. And God said, surely I will bless you. You have pleased. This is a plan after my own heart. So, may the Lord help us. Father, we just thank you and bless your name.
Yes.
Because you are good and you are faithful. Thank you, Lord, that when you speak to us, you've given us an ability to understand you. Father, our desire is that you bring us to that place where we can offer to you what you so desire.
Yes.
Lord, that we will worship you in truth and in spirit. That our very lives will be a display of your splendor and your glory, because you have invested in us so much. And we cannot afford to be anything less. Help us, Lord, to walk a holy life. Father, we thank you and bless your name. Thank you even for just speaking to us today through your word, that you have chosen us. You have made us a holy, a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a people belonging to you, that we may display your praises. And we can be a testimony to our neighbors, be a testimony to our workmates and everyone around us, to just show how much you have done in our lives. We thank you and bless your name. These things we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you and God bless you.
Amen.